Thanks again to all the folks from Chapel Hill High School for coming by and talking about Shrek the Musical. That's going to be next week. We got Gene Bolduc here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler on WCHL. And we're going to be talking about this week in the news. Bill O'Reilly, specifically, speaking of theatrics.
Bill O'Reilly.
But you've got some theatrical experience
as
well.
You know, I do, Aaron. I was in my car listening to your wonderful interview with the cast and producers of Shrek. And I just don't think you can overstate the value of theater in high school, musicals
yes.
in particular.
Yeah.
My experience was freshman year, Carousel. This was back in, you know, the 1700s. Carousel, next year was Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
Now, we couldn't afford the big sets, so we didn't have corn that was as high as an elephant's eye. We just settled for an elephant's thigh.
Okay.
That's with the TH. And
instead of Oklahoma, you did Delaware?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to change the lyrics of Rodgers and Hammerstein. The next year was, now I'm going to draw a blank. The next year was the Pajama Game and then MAME.
Oh, wow.
And as part of all this, yours truly became the MC of the Glastonbury High School, Glastonbury, Connecticut. Hello, everyone back home. Non-talent talent show and an annual event that was wonderful. And in our day, streaking was a thing. This was in 1976.
Okay.
And it was a thing. And in the middle of my talking to the audience at one point in the show, the curtain
Well,
behind,
it was a non-talent now, talent
it was,
show.
It was something that requires exactly no
zero
talent.
Zero talent, yeah.
The curtain opened, cracked, you might say, behind me. That was two jokes right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
And the audience saw this, but it was behind. I didn't actually see it.
Right.
But I could tell from their reaction kind of what happened. And so I observed to the audience that there was obviously a full moon that night and that we were going to go on with the show. Despite this breach in protocol,
we had
more fun, and I have friends today who I couldn't do without, who I became friends with through those experiences in high school.
Yeah,
and you know, and a couple of my teachers too, by the way.
Oh,
I just became Facebook friends. In the last 6 months with my 10th grade geometry teacher who was the director of all these productions.
Oh, I'm still into like all of the people. I'm still in touch with a lot of high school friends, and my 20-year reunion is coming up in 2 months, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it up to Michigan for it. I'm still kind of working out the details there, but I'm still in touch with a lot of friends from high school.
Yeah,
and
we just had our 40th. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
And a lot of them are theater people, like all of the, and I always tell people, just going through high school, what you learn in the classroom is great. I had some amazing teachers in high school, but what I really learned was in extracurricular activities, doing debate and forensics and public speaking and theater
it
and
really is what
being Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors.
Discover yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. And I'm like one of my best friends from high school is Jane Fallion, my old drama teacher.
See?
And two of my very best friends from high school that I did theater with all the way through both lived in Florida, and when a group of friends went down to Disney World a year and a half ago, one of them lived on the West Coast, one of them lived on the East Coast. I'm like, come to Orlando, we'll have dinner, and it was
Can
a lot of fun.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And you know, the guy I co-hosted the talent show with is my age, which is, you know, over 40.
Yeah.
He is a full-time professional puppeteer.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's got the chops for it.
That's good.
He does puppet shows for kids.
Love it.
So, you know.
So for
Roseanne Horniak, my 10th grade geometry teacher and director, a big shout out to her. She doesn't live in Chapel Hill, but I'm sending her a link. And Jamie Keithline, who is the puppeteer. People I'm proud of. And Liz Garmise, my pal, my co-stage manager, who taught me how to, she and I created a Surrey with a fringe on top. You just never know what you're going to have to do in life. we did take a pass on bringing an actual horse onto the stage because...
But you thought about it for a second,
right?
Well,
because we could get them. And we thought, you know, the cleanup might be pretty difficult in live theater. It's live theater, and it's going to be live everything.
You have no idea what that horse is going to do.
You just don't know what that's going to be. So, you know, speaking of doing it live, Bill O'Reilly.
There we go.
Yeah, wow, Bill O'Reilly. Holy cow.
You did say speaking of doing it live. You could have gone with the horse as your segue,
yes,
but
the latter part of the horse
there
and doing it live. If you haven't seen the Bill O'Reilly YouTube video of
always a lot of
him saying
back when
doing
he was the
live,
host of Inside Edition,
oh
which
my
is where
goodness,
he got his start.
What a great moment in television. A lot of beeping, not really good for radio.
In fairness to Bill O'Reilly in that Inside Edition clip, which you should definitely get online on YouTube because it is a lot of fun to watch, I have felt that way myself on a number of occasions.
I think
everyone has felt that way.
But it wasn't for the same stupid reason that his producer said, okay, just say, well, so-and-so plays us out, and he didn't understand what play us out means.
I have definitely gotten unnecessarily enraged over silly things before, and I think all of us have had that experience. We just weren't on camera at the time.
Yeah, it's never going to be something important that's going to drive you crazy.
All right. So, got Jean Boldick here in the studio. She's the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, talking politics and political issues and national news every weekend here on WCHL. We're talking about the unceremonious canning of Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel, which is a really big deal in terms of just political discourse, I think.
It's amazing the amount and type of attention that this has gotten. Mm. I really think that this should be in a basket right beside HB2 in how corporate America and corporate culture it drives changes.
Oh yeah.
In a sometimes unexpected way, in ways that that legislation, for example, cannot do.
Yeah.
And what it is here is that in the Fox Corporation, at all, the whole thing, 20th Century Fox, I'm talking about, not just the news station. It's just, this is too big a liability for them to hang on to. There's a lot of attention to the fact that O'Reilly is going to get $25 million, which only means that they're going to pay out 1 year of his contract. He had just renewed for several years, but that's what they paid him by the year, which is amazing enough. They paid Roger Ailes $40 million to go away. They settled many lawsuits besides that. They probably illegally reported those settlements to their shareholders.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Well, this is the interesting part. The SEC is looking into this.
Yeah, usually you're sworn to silence
not only that, but on their balance sheet, They didn't show these as legal settlements. They showed them. They dropped them into the salary column. So the money was buried in there under salary and wages paid to employees.
That is a tough question.
Employees that settled their complaints.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a tough question though, because if you've got shareholders, they're part owners in the company that's paying these settlements. So on a certain level, they should be aware of what the settlement is.
They absolutely have the right to know.
Yeah.
And that the New York City Advocate has a complaint, an SEC complaint, and so that was being pursued.
Mm-hmm.
There's pressure from that direction, but I think that what people really don't understand about this is that 20th Century Fox has just bought or is in the process of buying the Sky Network in Europe, which is Europe's pay-per-view mechanism throughout Europe. That deal is about to go through a regulatory review to approve the deal. That is a $14 billion, that's with a B, billion dollar deal. And they do not want this kind of management, aka mismanagement controversy, on the front pages, drip, drip, drip every day, which was going to be the case. And I think in the end, my opinion, I think that's what caused the elder Murdoch to say, okay, that's it.
Because everyone's talking about this in terms of all of the sponsors here in the States pulling
that,
their
that
advertisements,
did apply
which probably
a significant
definitely
pressure. That's
significant
true.
Pressure, but you think it's the Skynet deal?
I think that the
They actually call it Skynet, really?
I think that it's the Sky Network.
Oh, the Sky Network.
So,
okay.
I mean, literally, and I'm showing
like
this,
after Terminator 2 came out, you can't
Aaron
call anything
and Aaron will verify that this is true. Here's the story. 20th Century Fox agrees to buy Sky. They bought the Sky. That's how big they are. They could
Sky
buy the
PLC. Sky PLC. Okay. Like, so, I feel like if you call anything, if you start a company and you call it Skynet anytime after T2 comes out, I think you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, honest to God. I mean, so.
Or promising it, one or the other.
You know, be ambitious, buy the sky.
There you go.
Don't settle for the moon and stars. Just take the whole sky.
But either way, and I think this is
it's
really
the money,
important.
Though.
Yeah, it is the money. And I think you're right to put
it's
it in the same
it.
Basket with
right.
HB2, because with HB2, why was it that Republicans finally sat down? I mean, sort of kind of repealed, but still, like, passed a bill to repeal the language of House Bill 2. Why is it that they did that? Did they have a change of heart? Did people come
Absolutely
and talk to them
not.
And reason with them and they
right.
saw the error of their ways? No, it was because so many companies and cities and states and people were putting financial
now, see,
pressure.
It was your drama training that allowed you to
there
say
you
that
go.
Whole sentence without cracking up. Did they have a change of heart?
Did they have a change of heart?
Did
no, they did
they suddenly
not.
Wake up and realize that, you know, oh, my goodness, this is the most backward, idiotic thing we could have done. No, I don't think it was
And exactly
that.
The same thing with Bill O'Reilly. Did he get fired because he committed acts of sexual harassment? No, he got
Obviously
fired
no,
because
right.
the fact that he did was becoming a financial liability. And I was actually thinking about this in terms of, this is a weird connection, but you'll appreciate it, Citizens United. The
yep.
Supreme Court ruling, yeah. which says very definitively that it's very difficult for the government to regulate campaign donations because mm-hmm. money is speech.
Money
and
is
I think
speech.
People on the left who don't like the Citizens United ruling, we have a tendency to just come up with whatever argument that we come up with on the top
right.
of our heads to oppose the thing that we oppose. Say, oh, no, money's not speech. Speech is speech. Money is completely
right.
different. I would argue that not only is money speech, in this country, money is the only
it's becoming
kind
the
of
only speech.
Speech,
right.
And I think that might be the way to combat Citizens United, because in the sense of just leaving the door open for anyone to speak, quote unquote, with their pocketbooks as much as they want, that's effectively closing the door off from allowing people who don't have millions and billions of dollars
like
and
you
own
and me.
Companies exactly
yeah.
to speak publicly. Because, you know, I've got a 4-hour-a-day radio show. You've got a radio show every weekend.
Yeah, right.
You've been a journalist for a long time.
Right.
We've both have some degree of influence in the sense that we're speaking into live microphones
right.
that people
right.
are listening to. Someone sitting in their living room in a $10 million house can just walk over to their credenza and write a check and send
right.
it off and have way more influence than either of us.
Yeah,
and
that's mixed up.
That's mixed up,
yeah.
But
yeah.
that comes from, I think, going beyond the immediate reaction of, oh, no, money's not speech, it can be regulated, to saying, yes, money is, in fact, the only kind of speech, therefore we have to regulate money in order to make sure that everyone can speak,
right.
including those without
and
means.
And boy, anybody who doesn't believe that should just look around the table in the current cabinet
mm-hmm.
in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
I mean, that
Betsy DeVos.
That cabinet room is probably the richest group of people who have ever been in one room serving the government,
yeah.
allegedly serving the government.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that
it's,
was
and
a
it's
real
not
problem
like they're, and it's not
them
like they're terribly much richer than the previous cabinet and the cabinet before that and the cabinet before that.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, they're really
they're
over.
Really, yeah.
They're just over the top in how their money has brought them to the table. By the way, one of those people is Rex Tillerson, who's a real confusing story of how in the world he got to be Secretary of State. He was handpicked by Vladimir Putin is how.
Mm.
That's just all there is about it.
Yeah.
History will tell us this.
We've got Gene Bolduc here in the studio. Weekend Water Cooler is the show. We've actually got to wrap up. We've been talking forever already. But tell us about Weekend Water Cooler. When's it on this weekend and who's the guest?
Well, this weekend, don't miss this weekend's Weekend Water Cooler, because for one thing, while we were recording, I dumped some water on the table and it was really hilarious. But this week I have Quentin Harper is joined the water cooler to talk about how he came into his activities as a community organizer. I find him to be a very special and inspirational person. He is running our Barbara Fouché's campaign for alderman. Want to give a shout out now to anybody who's going to run for alderman. Please come on the water cooler and just come to WCHL.
Yeah, come to WCHL.
Yeah.
We had Barbara on earlier. She announced her candidacy. Like
yep.
anyone who's, we're not quite to filing for
not
office,
to filing
but as soon
yet,
as you make that decision, come
yeah,
on the air
but when
and
you
announce.
Make the decision,
we're
or if you're trying to decide
to
and you need a little nudge, come to WCHL and we'll tell you that running for office is almost always the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
To help everybody out.
Yeah, our only concern is if a whole bunch of people run for like Chapel Hill Town Council, then we have to schedule the candidate forums, and it's hard to find a room with more than 9 microphones in it. So
that's a good point.
Becomes logistically difficult.
Speaking of 9, I just want to mention about light rail. I found it nearly miraculous because, you know, here at WCHL, I know you've not given much time to discussing light rail,
except for,
you know, 23 and a half hours a day. but I found it remarkable that 9 former mayors, that means 9 politicians, agreed to endorse light rail. And I think that's kind of an amazing number. You know, mayors, I find, tend to kind of look at the big picture, and I think that's a pretty strong endorsement.
Well, we got to wrap up, but Gene, stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll have our National Poetry Month celebration in which you read a poem. I don't know what it is yet, but
yes.
We'll set it up as soon as we come back. It's 3:51, back with Gene Bolduc after this. 3:52 here at WCHL, Aaron Keck with you this afternoon. We are joined here in the studio by Gene Bolduc, who is the host of the Weekend Water Cooler here on WCHL. Quentin Harper is the guest this week. But it is National Poetry Month, and all week long, if you've been tuning into WCHL, we've been really excited about this, and I've had a lot of great ones. All of our weekly guests here on the Aaron Keck Show, we've invited them to read a favorite poem of theirs or a selection from a favorite poem of theirs, and it's been really good. So Gene, the mic is yours. What are we going to hear?
Okay, well, let me just tell you a little tiny story about this poem. This poem was written by my great-grandmother, who actually was a published poet in her day, and is actually sort of a little bit famous. Her poem is listed in Bartlett's famous quotations.
Whoa.
By default, I never met my great-grandmother, but by default, I love her. However, bless her heart, this poem is filled with terrible advice.
All right.
Okay. So this poem is called Then Laugh. This reading this is not an endorsement.
Who's okay.
It's called
what's
Then
name?
Laugh by Bertha Adams Backus. Build yourself a strong box. Fashion each part with care. When it's strong as your hand can make it, put all your troubles there. Hide there all thoughts of your failures. And each bitter cup that you quaff. Lock all your heartaches within it, then sit on the lid and laugh. Tell no one else its contents, never its secrets share. When you've dropped in your care and worry, keep them forever there. Hide them from sight so completely that the world will never dream half. Fasten the strong box securely, then sit on the lid and laugh. Terrible advice.
I think that's fine.
I think if you have cares and worries, you should tell someone.
You should tell someone.
If you see something, say something.
That's fair.
But
I do have a box like that.
You do have a box like that. So I think and sometimes in life we all have a box.
Depends
like
on
that.
The care, I think.
Yeah, sometimes you need that box.
Yeah. All right. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Aaron.